for Aaron.
Forgive me for being not quite calibrated, as they say in Madrid. I haven't had the chance to prepare properly. The last day's been very. So we're going to go through a sugya of Elish Melaguer in Chagiga. It's a very interesting sugya. There's a few halachic interesting issues. Besides the Hashkofi issues and a few various, maybe even the Shnikla Musa in it, Moedikazach. And you bear with me if you all know the sugya already, it's a geshmak sugya to chaz it over, to appreciate a bit of what's going on. Gemara starts off, Tonu Rabbonon, Abo Nichnasu Bepardes, four people went into an orchard. The sugya, by the way, is a half and a half, so we're not going to go through word for word, you know, to get nervous, but we're going to go and take it, the bits and pieces that are relevant. Abon Nichnas of a paradise, four people went into an orchard. The orchard is an expression for Ganeden. Because the Torah says that the Neshamas go to Ganeden, and Ganeden is the place of ultimate joy and simcha and nachas and dveikus, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So these four people, Nichnas of a paradise, enter the orchard, and we mechana it as a kinui for an orchard, because the Torah itself calls that place Gam. The Paradise does have a Sharon, as you say, but it's not relevant here. They're going into a place. We'll discuss it in a minute. I'll read you Arab bin Khanal, fast as you've been Khanal. Okay, you know what? Let's not jump. So they went into the Paradise. So how did they go in? Rashi straight away bothered. How did you get in? How do you walk into this Paradise? What do you need to do? So Rashi says, Onur the Rakia. On the Rakia Ali Deshem, you say one of Hashemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on the Rakia, we went up the Shemaim. We're going to see later on, I don't know, maybe even us, if we knew the right Shemus, we could do such a thing. Elisha bin Avuya, we're going to see, was quite a flawed character in many ways already then. Tina Isa Belibwe, the Gemara is going to say later. And nevertheless, he was able to go to Rakia. So it might be that it's not just. It's just not just about you have to be on a certain level. It might be also to do with the knowledge of the Tzirufi Shemus and how to do with these things. But Kol Ponim Rashi says that they went up, they went into the Gan Eden, on the Rakia Ali Deshem. So he says, Nichnasu Lepardes, Kagoyin Ali Deshem. V'lo Yolo Mal Mamash, actually physically go up. Elo hoyon nirun lehem kemoish alu, chaim pirish baruch. Hoyon nirun lehem kemoish alu. They, when they say the Shemus, they would go up. They would say the Shemus, and it would appear to them as if they were going up into the rakias of what we don't understand. And we do Rabbein Chananel. The Rabbein Chananel goes even further. Pirish, kinu pardes me'en galeden. Shehu gnuza le tzadikim. Kach, oysoi mokoim hu mokoim ba'arovois. Arovois is the name given to the seventh Rakia. Gemara previously has already told you about five blood beforehand, has told you what happens in each of the Rakias. Not that we understand, but the Arovois one, the top one. Haravois Shboi, Tzedek, Mishpot, Stoko. Ginzi Chaim, Ginzi Shonim, Ginzi Brocha, Nishmoson Sel Sadikim, Ruchois, Nishomois, Osid Li Boris, Vetal Osid Hakodesh Boruch Lahachi is Primis. So Arabis is the top one. And I suppose it means that if they were able to get through the Rukiyas, there were six Rukiyas below that, which they probably went through on the way. Imagine there was a shortcut. So they went through the top Rukiyas, and when they got to the top Rukiyah, the seventh Rukiyah, that's the Rukiyah which they were now going to through the Tziruf Hashemis, the Shana Shomesh and Sadiqim, Tziruf Boy. Umfurush Behicholois, Shehoyu Chachomim, Horoin Midazu Chachomim, who knew how to do this. Mispalalin, they would have them. Umenakin atzmon, called Dova Tumma, clean themselves from any Dova Tumma. I suppose that means proper actual Tumma, like scary Tumma Zav or anything like that. The Tzomin, they would have to fast as well. Umatvilin, Umatarin, Mohi Mishtamshim, the Tzshemois, the Tzoyfin Behicholis, and they would see, they would look into the Hecholis. And they would be able to see all the malachim, how they were standing in Shemaim. This sugya is the sugya after which the Gemara has already explained the Maaseh Merkava. So this would be like as sort of the cherry on the cake, the icing of the Maaseh Merkava, that they would actually be able, through being nichas the palace, to actually see the Maaseh Merkava as Yecheskel had seen it, and as the Gemara says Yeshai also had been able to see it. The Gemara says the Gabbah, the Maaseh Merkava. I mean, for those who don't learn the Maaseh Merkava on a regular basis, I mean, we all do it once a year in after Shavuos. But for those who don't learn it regularly, the Merkava, Yecheskel saw the Malachim standing there, and then above the Malachim he saw another Rakiya, and above that Rakiya he saw the Kisei HaKavod. And on the Kisei HaKavod, he saw Kedmus Ish, and it was surrounded by the Chashmal, and something else, all these things which we don't understand. But these are Dugmois of what we was able to see. And they wanted to go into the paradise to have the same experience, to see what he'd seen. So they went into the paradise. Ve'eluhein ben Azai ben Zema, Achei v'Reb Akiva. So the Gemara just says, tells us what happened to them, what was the end result. Benazai hits it, the word hits it means to look, or mace. V'olav akosav ayme yoko be'enei Hashem ha'movso lachasidov. Ben Zoyma hits it, also looked. V'nifka, and he was damaged. Rashi says he went mad, nitrifodati. V'ol v'akol suvayme dvash motzos achoin dayecho petis be'enu. Be satisfied with Hekos, then you'll vomit. We'll talk about the lazy magician. Ache kitzitz benetiyos. Kitzitz benetiyos means to cut down saplings. So Rabbi Chanan explains, since we've explained the Gan Eden is this place where the neshamas are in the seventh rakia. Compared to a Gan Eden, a gun. And since we talked as the place where they've entered is the paradise, an orchard, therefore Ache, who went into the orchard and destroyed it, was Mekalkel. We're carrying the metaphor further. He cut down the saplings. One of the big questions in the sugya is that how did whatever Elisha ben Avuya do wrong, how did it affect the place? How did he have any ability to affect the place that where he had gone into to see what he had seen? What could he possibly do to that place? So that's what happened over there. And the Gemara goes off. The Gemara talks about completely unrelated issues in Alochas. Before we go off and further on the Gemara, we've already got something which is a halachic nekud over here. Very important. Halachic Shaila. There's a Tosis in Gittim, which Rabbi Akiva Eger brings over here. Gemara says, Tonu Rabbanon. Tonu Rabbanon, Hareze Gitech, Almanas, Shetali Lurakia. Condition that you go up to Shemaim. See, if a person makes a get, on a condition which is impossible to fulfill, then the condition is meaningless. But if a condition is possible to be fulfilled, then we have to fulfill the condition. It says, the condition has to be fulfilled. So Tosis asks, how on earth is it possible for a person to fulfill this condition of going up to the Rakia? So Tosis answers, Al Yudei Shem. So, according to Rashi's Pshat, they went physically up with Shem, they would physically go up to Shemaim, then that's correct. So, Kibbeg is asking Kasha, it's possible to physically go up to Shemaim Al Yudei Shem. However, according to Tosis Pshat, a person doesn't go up to Shemaim, it's something you've got in your mind, it's a spiritual vision that you're able to access, but it's not an actual physical transposition. So, what's going to be pshat? So that's what we're keeping it by kasha. And halacha lemaisa, we find that it is considered a condition which you can fulfill, even though nowadays we would have said that nobody is able to go al-Ishim. Perhaps it could be considered that we usually these things go with the loshon of Leodom. So if the only possible way for a person to go up to Shemaim is in a spiritual trip where he manages to go and separate his neshama from his body and go up to Shemaim, then that's what he meant by Amnashim Tali Rukia. And therefore it's possible to do it even if you don't physically aim to go up. Nevertheless, that's still considered as if you've gone up. We find, Gemara asks a kashya, what's the big deal? Yecheskel saw the Ma'aseh Merkava. It says Yeshaya saw it as well. And he didn't make such a big deal. He just wrote one pasuk. He went and he saw the Merkava. So the Gemara answers, Yecheskel was compared to a villager who sees the king. And Yeshaya is compared to a city person, who lives in the city of the king, who sees the king. The person who sees the king regularly, this is Rashi Pshat, the person who sees the king regularly, what's the big deal? There's no need to say over what it's not exciting. So Yeshaya didn't bother saying over. But Yecheskel, he was so excited by this wondrous vision that he'd seen, so therefore he felt the need to write it down. Tosfos isn't very happy with that Pshat. Tosfos is a different Pshat. And Tosfos says, Pshat is not all that. It says, Yeshaya was at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. At the time of the Beis Hamikdash, for a person to see the Shechinah, to see the Ma'aseh Merkava with the extra spiritual elevation afforded by the fact that they had in the Beis Hamikdash, that wasn't a big deal. There was no need for him to write it. Everybody could, not literally everybody, but it wasn't something that was really worthy. Whereas Yecheskel, who lived that time after the Churban, when it was taka amazing. But the Beni Yodah explains a bit more than that. He explains, it's not Pshat, just he was amazing. At the end of the day, so what? So Yecheskel did something amazing, so he felt he had to write it down. He said, people didn't believe him. But how could you possibly have seen such a vision of Ma'aseh Merkava without our Beis Hamikdash in such a situation? I heard once in the name of the Rosh Chodesh Brevda that he said, okay, the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu did it was to give a chizuk at this our lowest time, at the Churban, when we are going off into the Golos, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is still with us. But in order to do that, we had to see it with our own eyes. So he gave them an extra chizuk, an extra gilui. But the Ben Yod explains the pshat was that Yecheskel had to say over the vision, so the people would say, oh yeah, you must have seen it, that's quite right, that's how it's meant to be. By saying over the vision, he was telling people that he had actually been there, and he was proving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him that extra level of Siyat HaShemayah to be able to access that vision. So similarly over here we can say that Olu L'Rukia, to be able to see what's going on up there, is also, he went up to Rukia. So what if he didn't actually physically go? say in the Piyutim, when Balasara Rugim Malchus, he also with as I said, the shame besiludim ba'olul rukia. It's exactly the same machlekes. What's pshat olul rukia? This is how you went to rukia. Either you go physically, if it's possible such a thing, and or go to Taisnes, but you go up, not physically. So the Gemara carries on, and the Gemara tells us a few interesting halachas about one of them, Ben Zayma. Ben Zayma was the one who was nifta. And the Gemara tells us that Ben Zayma, one of the halachas said was that the Sula She'ivro, Ma'ul Kohen Gadol, the Sula She'ivro. I'm only telling you that, we don't want to go into the halach issues, there's a big remotion about this, about it's all relevant to the issue of IVF and all that. So all this comes here in the separate Bambati. Don't want to go into that, it's not the forum for it. But I just want to point out what the halach of the Gemara brings the name of Ben Zayma, because in Mitzvah Shem it will be relevant later on. We want to give him a halach and explain why, what happened to each of the four people in when they went up there. So that was Ben Zayma. Ben Azai was literally for there. The Gemara doesn't really discuss that much. And then the Gemara goes on to Achikitzitz Ben Tiyas. So the Gemara says, what did he see? Mayhi chazom metatzrim diyisya v'lei rishusa lemeisav lemichtav zachvosa diyisrol. He saw the Malach metatzrim. By the way, metatzrim says other places, Tzchanoich, who became Malach metatzrim. And he was given, the Targum Edison calls him Safra Doyeris, I think he calls him. He was the secretary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so he was given permission to write down the Zechusim, to sit down, to write the Zechusim to Yisroel. Oma, so Elish ben Avriya said, Gemira, we learned, Telemalo, Loi Hava, up there is Loi Yeshiva, Veloi Tachlus, Loi Oiref, Loi Yipui. How can it be that somebody sitting down up there in Shomayim must be there's two Rishuyos. There's a competition, there's two gods up there. That's what he saw. Because he was given permission to sit down. So straight away, immediately, what happened? They took Metatron and they whipped him with 60 whips of fire. Why didn't he get out? Why did he stay sitting down? Why did he not get out? But it didn't help. And a basker went out. Yotz a basker v'omer shuv u'bonim shevim chutz me'ache. Shuv u'bonim shevim, that's a famous one. Shuv u'bonim shevim chutz me'ache. Ah, that was it. Once he had heard shuv u'bonim shevim chutz me'ache, so he said, hoyel, the nitrit b'hai alma, I'm not going to have the oilem abo, then at least I'll have the oilem azeh. And he went and he was Tzeveya Zayna, and she didn't even believe him. Aren't you Elisha ben Avriya? So he went and he picked a radish on Shabbos and he gave it to her, and she said, I must be somebody else, and that's where he got the name Ache. Must be somebody else, Ache, Cheu, and she got the name Ache. It's a very weird Gemara. Very, very, very weird Gemara. First of all, why was he given the rashus to sit down? Right? Well, does he have to sit down? We get to sit down for the Malach Metatron. Second of all, what was his fault that he got whipped? It's Achir when they knew. Why wasn't Achir Mekabel the answer? You saw that he got whipped. Why? What didn't he see? So he's under the leadership of somebody else. Somebody's in charge of him. Right? And then, perhaps the biggest question of all, if Achir believes that he's not going to get Olam Habo, but you don't want more Gan Hedon. At least don't get more Gan Hedon. Is it really worthwhile to get this world to go and get all the extra Gehenna that he wants to do? So that last question, hopefully we'll come back to later on. We want to get carried on a bit further. But it's a very important question. If I don't come back to it, remind me. So the question, first question, what was given with the Metatron, the point of sitting down, is that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to mischashev with the Zechusim of Klal Yisrael, and I heard once in Mahalach, but once I heard the Mahalach of what Pshat, he has to be written down in the first place. Right? So the idea of writing things down in Shemayim, we don't, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't forget anything. But when a person has a Lemosh, let's say someone's given stalker. The Maisat stalker that he's given, that's Kaim Lo'ilam Void, because the effects of that Maisat stalker are Kaim Lo'ilam Void. person gives him only £100. The £100 he goes and buys food for Shabbos for his family. His family have eaten that Shabbos. Mm. That's an effect that you've had in the change you've made in this world. There's nothing that can, it can't be taken away because the world is different after you've done that Ma'aseh Tzedakah. So there's no need for anything to be written down, so to speak. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzdarif Machshava Toivah LeMa'aseh as well. And therefore, Machshava Toivah, they don't have an effect, or at least not a physical effect on this world. And they have to be written down because there is no physical effect on the Machshava Toivah that you had. And there's a Rebbe Chonon, maybe we'll come back to another time. There's a Rebbe Chonon, where Rebbe Chonon explains that a poor person, Gemara says that if somebody loses money and a poor person picks it up, he's got a mitzvah stocker. Says Rebbe Chonon, because there's two parts to every single ma'aseh mitzvah. There's the zuchus that you get for the desire to do the mitzvah, the rotzen to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do something good, to do something right. And even if you didn't manage to do anything, you deserve to get that. And then there's the actual physical result of what you did. The fact that you didn't intend to get tzedakah doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, the poor person got fed because of you. So you have that as a chus. So there's two parts to every ma'aseh. So I'm going to say, with Rebbe Chonon, that's not what Moshe did. You have to write down. You have to write down the machshavos toivos. Because machshavos toivos, they don't have a physical effect on the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashal explains that in order to be mechabed the machshavos toivos of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he can sit down. But Acher didn't appreciate that this was a special dispensation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Taina, Tosfos says, was, what's the punishment? It's not a punishment that Natasha needed to get punished, needed to get hit with these whips. But the only way, if there's a mistake that comes about through you, and the only way you can fix it is through being hit, then that's what the Malach needs to have done. He didn't do anything wrong. He was told to sit down. But he should have got up, not because you shouldn't have sat down, but you should have got up so he shouldn't make a mistake. Not blaming you. Now that you didn't get up, then you'll need to be punished to be hit in order for Achi to see that there's no two Rishoyas. Achi didn't take the message. He didn't take the message of two Rishoyas. We'll see later on why. Now the Gemara discusses here, the Gemara carries on. The Gemara goes on with Remeya. Remeir was the famous Talmud of Acher. We're not going to get to that, I don't think, because I'm going to tell you now that the Gemara later on says that Remeir was able to bring... Okay, we'll leave that, sorry. So the Gemara, Remeir was following Acher, was learning from Acher, even though Acher was a big Rasha, but Remeir used to learn from him. So the Gemara says... Shoal aches remeir, laach shiyotz letarbus ro. Mai dechsev lo yarechen ozov vizechuchis. Utmurosa klipoz. The Torah says, by Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that the Torah cannot be valued by gold or glass or exchanged for klipoz, which is also gold. Glass here doesn't mean glass, it means white glass, which was a very expensive commodity in those days, a very precious commodity. The Gemara somewhere says that if a person wants to lose money, he should buy white glass, because it's very, very expensive, and it's easily broken. So, in fact, it's historically very well known. There was a secret which was held for many hundreds of years, how to glass, the secret of glass making was something which was traditionally a very, very... a protected secret they used to keep it in the families and such. So here Achi asked me, what does the pasuk mean? So Rebbe answered, Eilu divrei Torah, shekoshen iknoisa ki klizav u klipoz, v'noichin la'avdon ki klizchuchis. It's easy to lose them like klizchuchis. There's a problem with that. There's a kasha on that one, which is, why do you need two mesholim? What do you need two mesholim for? If white glass is very expensive and it's very easy to be broken, could have had one marshal. Look, Tivrei Torah, Shekosh and Iknoisan Kakli Zechuchis, the Noichel Avdo Kakli Zechuchis. So there's a kash on that one. So Reb Achi wasn't having that teretz. Achi said, no. Reb Akiva Rabcho loy omakach. Elo ma kli zov u kli zchuchis. Ava pisha nishmeru. Yesh lehem takono. Av talmud chochom. Ava pisha sorach. Yesh lehem takono. Even though a talmud chochom has gone off, he's gone bad, yesh lehem takono. He can be fixed. He can be sorted out. Why? He can remelt the gold. Fix it. You can remelt the glass and fix it. It was very obvious to Rabbi Meir that Omar loy afato chazay mecha. Do teshuva, go back. Omar loy kvashomati mechoy aparagoy. Shuvu bodim shevim chutz me'achem. Shuvu bodim shevim chutz me'achem. So I can't go back. All everybody else, they are doing into Klizov and Klizchuchis, they can be fixed, they can be repaired, they can go back to where they were, but not me. So we're going to discuss, talk about why Taka, it was like that, why he couldn't go back. But one thing you see amazingly over here is, he didn't answer, I'm not a believer, I don't believe. What do you want me to do? I don't believe that there's only one God, I believe there's two. If a person is a Baal Taiva, and he's gone and done something wrong he shouldn't have done, then we know that there's four steps to tshuva. As you have a chet, charota, kabon labo, a vidui. What's he going to do? He's going to not do anything wrong. He's got to never do that thing again. He's got to make sure that he puts in steps, actions that he shouldn't fall into the same pit again. He's got to have proper charota, regret what he's done. If a person has a mistake in the shittas, in Hashkofa, he had a misunderstanding, he didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either you do or you don't. As soon as you do, you're finished, you've done everything. Once you believe in Zaktaka HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. And I believe. I've done Aziv Zachet, I've done Charot, I've done Kabbal Labo, I'm sorted. If Acha still believed that there were two Rishuyos, he should have turned around and he said, Chazor Becho, can't. I don't believe there's two Rishuyos. I believe there's two Rishuyos. It seems clear from the sugya, the only reason Acha actually went off was a temporary aberration. He had a temporary mistake. He had, at one point, there's two Rishuyos. I don't know how long it lasted for. Maybe Taka until he saw that Metachim got hit. But after that, the motivation for going off was Shuvu Bonim Shuvim Chutz Me'Acha. No, Mache, I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back. So, when you look at the sugya, you begin to feel sorry for the poor guy. If a person would be so rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the question is, what did he do to deserve such a thing? There's many people who have made a mistake in Hashkofas, and it was accepted. Why was it not accepted that it wouldn't have been accepted? What Acha had done? I'm not saying there is an issue to ask. Why did Acha was not worried about Gehenna? Why did Acha just carry on misbehaving, even if he's not going to get Gan Eden? We're going to address that as well. It doesn't end there. Rami didn't give up. Tokfei. He grabbed hold of him. Aile lebei medrash, and he schlepped him into the base of medrash. Omale leinuki psaik lipsukoch. This was a form of nevuah. It was brought in the Shulchan Aruch that one is allowed to do. It's not a nechush or anything. Psaik lipsukoch was similar to what nowadays people do, the Goyim Hagro. It's the idea is that this is a shtickel of Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a psoik ifzukach. Omalei ein sholoim, oma Hashem l'reshoim. Very clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not having him. Aile lebei k'nishta achriti. Omalei nuk a psoik ifzukach. Omalei, he said to him, If you wash yourself with soap, your sin will not be washed away. He took him to another Beis HaMedrash. There's another pasuk. He took him to 13 shuls. Beis HaMedrash asked a child, each one, to tell him the pasuk. And each time the same thing happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let him know in no uncertain terms he wasn't having him. Before Hashem asked the question, what was Rebbe Meir trying to achieve? What did Rebbe Meir want? Dig his hole deeper to make him feel even worse, to make him more rejected? So then the Hashem explains, the Mashal explains, Rebbe Meir had understood that Shuvu Banim Shoivim, even Miyiro, Chutz Me'ache, who I'll only accept his Tshuva if he does a Tshuva Me'avo. And therefore, Rebbe Meir wanted that Ache should get that message in a Psaikli Psukach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't cooperating, and he wasn't sending him the right pasuk to him. Till he came to the worst one. The last one. Omalei, Psaikli Psukach, Omalei, V'lerosho Omalekim, Malacho L'Sapechuki. V'lerosho Omalekim, Malacho L'Sapechuki. Why do you repeat my halachas? Why do you learn Torah bechlal? So here the apostle is literally addressing Acha's strong point here. He says, "Who asked you to learn? Don't need your learning." Now this Ahu Yenuki have a megam gebelishni stammered, "Ishtoma kamoda omalei vle elisha, not vle rosha vle elisha," because it sounded like that because he wasn't speaking clearly. So it sounded as if he said vle elisha. So. Omer Elohim, Iker de Omer Sakin Ava Ba'adei V'korei. There are those who say he had a knife in his hand and he tore him. This is the Posh of Shatna Sukkah. He tore the child. The Shodru Litzrei Sabeh Krishna, he sent him to the other 13 shuls. V'Iker de Omer, others say, he said, if I would have had a knife, I would have torn him. And the Posh would say, it can't be that. Because of Remeya, would have come such a terrible thing, a child should have got torn up because of an Ishmael Avuya could have done it, that we've got no problem. But that because of Remeya schlepping an Ishmael Avuya to a shul, a child would have got torn up for saying a pasuk in the Beis HaMedrash, can't be. And what it means, he tore up the Sefer. That's what Ben Yoda learns, he tore up the Sefer. He didn't tear him up, he tore up the Sefer. And now we get to the end of the story, where we begin to get a bit of an understanding. Kinoch nafshei ta'ache omri, they said in Beis Nishamalo, lo yimeidin ledainoi, we can't pask him, we can't judge him, mishum da'osak b'yiraisa. He learned Torah, can't do anything with him. For lo yila alma da'osi lezi, he can't come to Olam Habo, mishum da'chota. And that's how he stayed. He wasn't allowed one way or the other. Omar Rebbe Meir said, Mutter, it's better, he should be judged. And then afterwards, you should get to Olam Habo. So therefore, when will I die and bring up smoke from his kever? Obviously, there are a lot of Rishonim who die in the world, and there's no smoke coming up from the Kvarim. Mashal explains that this was a special nest to show that Rebbe Meir had achieved his desired objective. And the Rebbe Chanan here explains that Koyach of the Tzaddik, usually people say that Tzaddikim and Misalsam are stronger than when Ben Chayim. The Rebbe Chanan explains over here a very interesting nekuda. Just before a person dies, he's got a much stronger koyach tefillah. And Rebbe Meir was waiting for that moment just before he died, that he would daven then that Ache would go into Gehenna, in order that his tefillah would then, he knew his tefillah would be accepted, and Ache would be allowed accepted into Gehenna. Gehenna, yeah, he needs to be burnt first. But you're right. Rabbi Yochanan, they turned around. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kvur to the Mikra Rabbi, is it a big deal to go and burn your Rebbe? Is that something special? Is that what you do too? And when I die, I'm going to take him into Shemayim. I'm going to take him to Gan Eden. Who's going to stop me? I'm going to hold it by my hand. Who's going to stop me? In the Hesped, they gave for Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, they said even the guardian to Gehenna wasn't able to withstand Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan went and took Ache out of Gehenna and brought him to Gan Eden. It's phenomenal that the end result, he managed to make it. But just before anybody should realize, do you think it was by accident? that Elisha ben Avuya had a Talmud called Rabbi. And was it by accident that Rabbi Yochanan happened to decide that he should go to Galin? Was that not also min hashamayim? Avada's also min hashamayim. Everything is min hashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shuvu Banim Shoyim Chutz Mi'Acher, and instead they rejected him and had put him in this situation. That the same Rabbi Yisroel had given him a Talmud Rameya and a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan. That same Rabbi Yisroel who saved him. He was in limbo and he wouldn't stay there. Who knows? And he saved him. I think somebody made the calculation that time between Rameya and Rabbi Yochanan was actually 100 years. It was a long time burning in that cave. I think somebody made that chesed. But this Gemara is amazing Gemara. See the Kriya HaTorah, and suddenly like Elisha ben Avuya, and Kaviyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a tide. What can I do with him? I can't put him again. Unbelievable. And let's go back a second. Remember I told you, his chusim had been rubbed out. The Tachshon had rubbed out his chusim. He sat down and rubbed out. He's lost his chusim. The Mabit explains, why did he lose his chusim? How can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does, I'm a teacher, the last thing you ever do is take away a person's rewards that he rewards. What you earned, you earned. And what you punish, get punished. You never take away a reward which has been given. It's not makapeh schar kaperia. How can it be? So Mabit explains, he was toya l'rashoynis. He was toya l'rashoynis. He regretted what he had done. He regretted the mitzvahs, the Torah. So that's why he lost everything. A person regrets the mitzvahs that he's done. Okay, you regret it. You wish it hadn't been done. The same cheshbos tshuva. A person can correct with charata. He can turn all his averus into mitzvahs with charata. And cholili, he can do the opposite as well. He can rub them all out as well with charata. Sometimes, you know, you do somebody a favor, and then you end up, and the favor is not what you ended up doing, and it costs you much more than you thought it cost you with the time, with the gazot. Well, Don't have charota. You have done the same thing, and you won't even have the schar for it. But that is also the answer to our questions on Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya knew the value of his Torah. If I'm not going to get Gan Eden, if I'm not going to get schar, I don't need to worry about Gan Eden. I'm okay. I'm protected. I've got nothing to worry about. My Torah will protect me. That's why Shuv Bonim Shevim Chutz Me'Acher. Your Torah itself is the reason why you went off. You relied on the Koyach HaTorah to protect you. The reason why Achim wasn't worried about doing Chet and doing Averis was because I know my Torah is going to save me. And he's right. He's right. The Torah does protect him. But Shuvah Bodim Shem Chutz Me'Acher. And in the end, Rabbi Yisrael got him. In the end, Rabbi Yisrael got him. Why is Talmid and Amir and Yechon? He went to Gehenna. His Torah didn't protect him. In the end, Rabbi Yisrael gets his man. It's not going to protect him. The Gemara says, I have to be mekatzel now, there's so much, I didn't realize how long it will take me. Wow, the Elisha ben Avuya come to such a thing. I'm sure you all know a famous story by the Bris that his father saw. The Chachomi came and they learned the fire and he was jealous and he said, wow, I also want that for my son. I'm dedicating him to Torah. You also know the story that his mother, same to Yerushalmi, that his mother had eaten treif when she was expecting. She was allowed to eat treif because she smelled the food and when it's a dangerous sakana for the isha who's more beres, and she had to eat it. And she ate it, but eating the treif was mefapei on him and it caused all this to happen. You can also know the Gemara, that Achir, when he got up from the base of Medrash, Sifri Minos fell from his lap. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows the Gemara that Achir used to sing, Zeb Yevoni. Right? Some people think he's Goisha songs. It doesn't mean Goisha songs. Well, he's not Posh of Shazlo Goisha songs. Rashi explains it's because he sang songs he wasn't upset by the Khorban. Yeah, you're not allowed to sing music. Halachically, really, we're also not allowed to sing, have any music because of the Khorban. And Mashal explains, no, it was Greek poetry which had in it a minus. That's what the Zembi of Oni that he sang. But all these things are indicative of some flaw, something wrong with the keli called Elisha ben Avuya, something that was wrong with him, which started off as a little crack from his mother and his father, developed a bigger crack as he grew up. Chassam Sefer's Daik, the Gemara, which we're not going to get to, the Gemara says of the fourth one, Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva is Ola B'Sholim, the Yorad B'Sholim. And he asked the questions, okay, Yorad B'Sholim, the three others didn't, so of course you have to tell me Yorad B'Sholim, but why did you tell me Ola B'Sholim? They all went in B'Sholim, all four of them were Ola B'Sholim. Says the Chassam Sefer, the reason why Yorad B'Sholim was because Ola B'Sholim. Do you know why? Do you know why the others didn't come out the way healthy, like Rav Akiva? Because there was something wrong with the way they went in. And he explains Elisha ben Avuya, and I'll try and explain to you Ben Zayma and Ben Azai. Elisha ben Avuya went in with sfeikas, and he learned the whole Torah entirely, continuously, to decide who's correct. Are there two Rishonim? Is there only one Rishonim? Not sure. What's the right Malach? But because he was Elisha ben Avuya, he always came out on the side of the right. But there was something wrong with his learning. He was lacking emunah pshuta. He was lacking the ability to turn around and say, I don't know the answer to these questions, but there must be an answer. That he was lacking. And therefore, when he had a question, when he got to that point, when he's right there at the top, the seventh rukia, and he sees Matatrin sitting down, and he had no answer to the question, he was lost. He was lacking the ability to turn around and say, I don't understand why he's sitting down, but I'm sure there's a good explanation. That he couldn't do. Ben Azai died. Unfortunately, but it wasn't a punishment. He was up there in Shemayim, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's another issue, also no time for that one. Seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't want to go back. He didn't want to go back to his body. He was having a brilliant time. Ben Zoimo went mad. Not because there was something wrong, because his mind couldn't contain the knowledge that he had acquired. He had taken in too much knowledge. Hitzitzboi. He said Seamus in order to see Baspaklarium Meir of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had only shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kilo Yirani Hodom Bechoi. He couldn't take it. What did Rabbi Akiva have that helped him go back to Shalom? The motivation. Why did Rabbi Akiva do it? Ben Azai wanted dveikas. And when he had the opportunity for even more dveikas, he couldn't hold himself back. He couldn't stop. Because this whole motivation was dveikas. Ben Zoima wanted knowledge. And when he had the opportunity for more knowledge, he couldn't stop. Because he wanted more knowledge. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it was time to stop, he stopped.
Maybe it was a deficit.
It's very, very well. She can come next time as well.
Yeah, I behave very well.
It's great.
Can I please have your topic? Yeah?
You talk to me?
Can I
please
have your topic?
The topic? Elisha
ben Avuya. Oh, will you write it down for you?
Look at the front of the office. On the pussy. Middle of passion soon. Just after the halfway. The Shabbat of the Shabbat of after the next. The mother says there. Talk to me about children, the Abishul, the other. Doing that. Doing that.